You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
This is Ken Vellante with Something Rather Than Nothing podcast. And this episode, we have Laura Hopkins of the band Death Parade and really talented musical artist, an activist, somebody who I've followed for a little bit. And I'm just really pleased to be able to welcome you to the show, Laura.
Thank you.
One of the first questions we try to get into on the show is to find out what you were like when you were younger. You tend to be interested in artists when they were younger. Were you always interested in music, art, or is that something that developed later on?
I have always loved music. My dad played piano. He's a great piano player, and so was my grandfather, and we grew up like singing songs around the piano, and then I tried to play, but I didn't want to learn how to read music, so I just watched his hands and pretend like I was reading the music, but I was just copying his hands. So I liked playing piano, and I grew up with a lot of classical music. I pretty much only listened to classical until I was 10. So that was me in the early stages of my musical upbringing.
Yeah, it's good foundation. Actually, I just saw that the Portland Symphony just hired a new director. So I know I've gone to the Portland the symphony, and I got into some classical music much later on, but it's obviously a style and a tradition that is very foundational. But for you, as you developed, I know you've played in at least a couple bands. Do you want to talk about just kind of how you ended up, developing as a musician, as a songwriter, a singer, and guitarist, and just kind of take us along with your projects, a couple projects?
Yeah, I started teaching myself how to play guitar when I was 13, and I'd sing really quietly in my bedroom because I'd never wanted anyone to hear me. So I practiced, making sure every note was on point very quietly, and then playing guitar as well. And kind of always just like traveled and had an acoustic guitar with me, just because I just had to play wherever I was. And I was writing songs pretty much since I was probably younger than 13. But I just loved to play. And then getting older, I wanted to play a bit louder. And that was kind of weird for me. To play louder, because I was so used to like hiding and like I didn't ever want to sing in front of anybody. And then I got out there in the world and slowly got a bit louder, and was in some bands that I had to wear earplugs when I was playing because it was so loud.
Yeah, how did that feel for you? I mean, I can hear in your description, with the with the piano and some of that training, and then as it became more intense and louder. Well, how did that feel as far as you as an artist expressing yourself in that very different way?
It was like I needed both. Like I needed the quiet and I needed the loud to equal out. So like having a heavy project and also having like some acoustic guitar songwriting was important to have like both. But I've been really into songwriting, and like melodies get stuck in my head at night, and so I'm like making up songs in my head, and have to like go write them down, or I hear them in my head before I make them. And like experimenting with like fuzz pedals and getting louder and a more, you know, intricate ways of songwriting. Lately with the music, it's like a mixture of these like folky kind of songwriting ways into like a heavier, just the heavier feelings of the music. Like I wouldn't say it's like a genre thing. It's more like the songwriting style that I do is like how my emotional, where I'm at emotionally, or like my mood or something. Like it's more in like that, the heavy as in like moody, or a feeling that needs to be expressed. And like having, you know, a band, especially now with, we just got a new drummer for Death Parade, and he hits a little harder on the cymbals and on the drum set in general. So it's given us the ability to even, you know, create more sound and layers.
I really like the sound of Death Parade. And there's something about you said that prompted one thing I was trying to figure out in my head, because there's this element of dream pop. And for the audience, we'll be playing a track, Ghost World, of Death Parade in a bit. But Laura, there's this like kind of dreamy pop element of it, but there is that heaviness and there is that gravity to it. So I think there's this really interesting tension within the songs, or recent songs within Death Parade, of that kind of like rooted heaviness, but also a dreamy kind of spaciness too. And you usually don't see those two elements combined. I think you do a fantastic job doing that. Do you see that dynamic in the songs?
Definitely. I think that the dreamy pop feeling is totally, totally in there. Like I feel like when I'm writing, it kind of turns into a poppy thing because it's catchy and like I like melodies that stick, so it kind of goes to that. But I also like when I'm creating a space with music, like I want it to be like there's a sway to it, like there's a dreaminess where you can kind of like close your eyes and like go to somewhere, like a feeling or a memory, and just like kind of sway around in that feeling or memory. So it's like I like to create that space for people and myself.
I really love that space too. I know you're really interested, you know, in art and creativity. I was wondering, for you, what role do you see art serving? Right, we live in turbulent times. The stark relief injustice and disparity in our society, and then sometimes art's role, for me it seems, is questioned within that. Mm-hmm. What do you think the role of art is? Because historically it kind of either reinforces what exists or it disrupts what we exist. What do you see as art doing today, right now?
I think it's doing both. It's disrupting and absorbing and being present with what's happening, you know, like that's why I can connect to like art from coming from feeling, like, because everyone's feeling so much, like, you know, they talk about like soulless music, maybe because people have like soulless music because they aren't feeling anything. They're just like existing and like getting by and everything's working out, like, you know, like a cardboard box. It's just like, you know, it fits. It works, you know, but there's no depth to it. And right now there's so many people experiencing such depths of like being alive, you know, and like not being alive, like dying. And I think with art, like, is the only way to really like it's to express that magic of being alive. Like, you know, so with you're creating, like, art is magic. Art is like radiance of where you're at and how you can deal with like what's going on around you and like what's going on inside of you. So I like want to encourage everybody to like, you know, everybody's been going through something, especially this year, especially with artists in isolation and without other people. So they all are feeling something. So to be creating right now is like to be like letting it out somehow, like letting out that feeling, that magic that you're experiencing of being alive before, and like the grief of being alive.
Yeah.
You know, before it all, before you can't anymore. And then like, right. You know, like really that's it. Like it's over. And like, that was your shot, to like get all your feelings out. And if you don't do it, then you didn't do it. And then that's all, that's it.
Yeah. No, I really connect with what you say. I mean, one of the things I mentioned, there's this, you know, this heavy darkness in the pandemic, right? It's like the presence of death. Like it just feels closer, right? And it causes a reaction. And I found for myself, as far as my attempt to be healthy, is just to recognize that, like, it's there. Like it's in front of you. It's scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's really prompted that kind of reaction of everybody, because everybody is experiencing the pandemic, but everybody's pandemics are different, and their experience of them are so different.
I feel like maybe before, a lot of people weren't like, maybe even didn't believe in death. Like it was something that just happened to their grandparents, you know, like for a lot of folks, like it just was so far away from reality. And now it's like everywhere, you know, like you can't be a death denier anymore. Like it's not like we're all immortal and we can just take drugs and be like forever people, like, you know, right. Which is like, like you're being sold youth, and you're being sold that like this is, you know, we can have this forever, but like old people, you know, they're like, oh well, you know, they had their shot,
right?
Yeah, but it's like, no, now it's like you can die right now. You can die all the time. That's a made up reality that you can't die all the time.
Yeah. I, you know, there's something square about that, you know. So me, I'm trained in philosophy and doing this, you know, philosophy podcast. Mm-hmm. And historically, you know, with going back to the Greeks with like Plato and Aristotle, I mean, Plato is basically saying that, you know, philosophy is just the consideration of death. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like we're mortal. All right. So then, you know, what do we consider? But out of that, there's a lot of positivity and a recognition of reality, of like interrogating the world.
Totally.
But on that, a big question related to that, I was starting to talk about art. But that's a big question I ask in this show is what is art?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think art is?
I think it's the things that, you know, are, if it's human made art, is what, you know, the synapses in our brains extrude, you know, or like, you know, create. It's all just everybody's mind is making up all these things, and then art is just a, you know, a photograph or a video or like a sound of what somebody inside is trying to put outside. So it's a reflection of, you know, human made art is a reflection of humanity.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Laura. Folks, we're going to move to a track, Ghost World. We're with Laura Hopkins of the band Death Parade. And we're going to cut to Ghost World, Laura, and going to play it and like to chat about it when we cut back. Sound good?
Sounds good.
That's a beautiful song, Laura.
Thank you.
We got new stuff coming from Death Parade?
Yes. So in the midst of this pandemic, at the beginning of the pandemic, our drummer decided to focus on his own music. So we didn't meet up for a while, but then we met up with Robert, who used to play, or he plays in Tribe Mars. And him and I used to play in a band together called The Tamed West. And I played bass in that band, and we had a lot of fun. So this year has been us meeting up when we can. And we've got 8 new songs, working on a 9th one, and going to go into the studio soon and record them, making another full length.
Yay. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
So glad. Yeah. No, tell us more. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got, it's got all sorts of different feelings on the full length. I just was looking at like the songs and how they all sound, and I feel like there's different genres in every song a little bit, but they're all played by us. So I'm like, it can't be that big of a switch. You know?
I'm really looking forward to hearing the new tracks. I do love the band, and I love your work in the band. Laura, a big question that I tend to ask is, could you let us know what or who made you who you are?
What or who? And who I am?
Yeah.
I feel like I was talking to people about the pandemic made a lot of people go through an ego death. So I found a lot of new parts of who I am just this past year.
Yeah.
So I think it has to be maybe a what, like it was a situational growth to become, you know, this person. You know, every experience I experienced has made me get to this present moment and be the way that I am.
Yeah, the phrase ego death, I'm very influenced by Eastern philosophy and Buddhism and Taoism, and just kind of the role of the ego, right? And where the you know, ego dying or ego suffering, mm-hmm. And the kind of regeneration that's within that. And I love those themes, particularly in art and how you talk about them, you know, personally, right? Being honest about how things have changed, you know, in getting through adversity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big question, Laura. I don't mean to do two in a row to you. Two of the big,
throw them at me.
But the strange question that forms the basis of the show is why is there something rather than nothing? And it's that general question, but sometimes folks apply it to creativity, mm-hmm. and where creativity comes from. And does it come from within or outside or from nothing, or are things just kind of a reconstitution of what exists? So why is there something rather than nothing?
I think you can have the choice. Like each individual can have the choice of either having something or having nothing in the same exact experience. Like it's up to you to, you know, you kind of choose your own reality. So like if you're like, oh, it's nothing, like there's nothing, then like that's real, like that's valid, that makes total sense, like that's your reality. And then if you're like, okay, there's something, you know, and same person, and they just switch their mind around and they're in the same life, like then that's a new reality, you know, like
you get to
choose how, you know, what makes the reality. Like, the, you know, there's facts and things and stuff, and then but then you're stuck in this, you know, flesh box, and then you get to make up your own choice. Is it something like, does it matter, or doesn't it? And it's kind of liberating if you're like, oh, it doesn't matter, because then you can really do whatever you want.
Yeah. And all right. So let me do this speculative question. And I'm really interested in hear what you say. So, you mentioned flesh box. So your flesh box is up on stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. It's safe to perform, you know, whatever level the pandemic's at. There are public concerts, there are concerts of which we recall them being like, you're on stage. What's going to happen? What do you feel, Laura, for the first time going back?
Well, I think, I mean, that show that I threw, the Underneath the Bridge show, was a little taste of what that feels like, having that show this fall.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for doing that.
Yeah. I definitely am planning on doing more of those. Because, I mean, it was successful and safe, and it worked. And it was like this kind of new reality that I wanted to live in, where like the people just do whatever they want, you know, like, and they can take care of themselves and they can take care of each other. Especially when it comes to community and music, you know, like we set up that show we didn't ask anybody if we could be there. Like, we just occupied the land and did what we did. And like, I think, you know, shows moving forward, being up on stage, like now I'm realizing like how much you can do with that, being the flesh box up there with the microphone, like what you can do and how you can interact with the people and that are watching, and how you can impact them. And, you know, like before, like I wanted to just give people a space to have feelings, you know, like I wanted to create a safe environment for people to close their eyes and feel and like cry and like, you know, laugh or like move, you know, and just be like, you're accepted, you're safe here to like be yourself. And then going forward, I think I want to utilize that as kind of like pushing people a little bit more to explore themselves, you know, like I'm standing up in front in my flesh box, but then all these people and standing in front of me, you know, they're exactly the same, except they're not talking. They're not, you know, being looked at, you know, there's all these, I always imagine, I'm like, there's so many floating brains out in front of me, you know, like, you know, I'm just this floating brain and we're all just like looking at each other and like, we're trying to get something out of this moment, you know, it's all just like time spent moments be there. So I think when getting up on stage and kind of like giving more space to being like, hey, do you guys know what we're doing right now? Like, are you aware of this time period? Like, we're only going to be here for 2 hours. Like, this is just 2 hours of your life. Like,
yeah,
this is, are you present? Are you here? Like this is a moment in your life that will never happen again.
Right.
And I think like one of the last shows when I was in my other band, we played in LA and I knew the pandemic was coming and I knew that was it. Like, this was going to be it. Like, there was not going to be shows like this anymore. And I just screamed at everybody. I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, we were in LA and I was like, do you know like that this is like, I hope that you're living so hard in this very moment, because this is
going down. It's going down now, right? Yeah.
It's going to be different from here on out. And I was so excited about that. And I like that show every single second of being there. Like I was so present and I lived it up. Like if I'd have to show, I'd be dead. Like that was it, you know, like, and I kind of just want to like carry that. And I feel like a lot of people are closer to that. I feel like when we were in LA, people were just like, I want to go backstage and get drunk and like, I want to be cool and all this shit. And I was just like, you know, that like your life is never going to be the same after this.
Wow.
And so I hope to share that with the music of being like, let's be here now as much as we possibly can be, because it can all be taken away. Like we took advantage of it. In Portland having shows every single night and so many different bands, you know, like it was all the time, and now it's all gone. So to like come back into like having a music scene, like it can't be bullshit, you know, it can't be fake. It can't be like just a pass the like it can't
it's
be
important.
Just
It's more, it's important, right?
It matters. So, and everybody's art that they're making should matter to them. And what they're doing should matter to them because, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
That's all you get.
And thanks for sharing that particular, you know, that sensation, the feeling that you had, like, of experience, and it's going to hit everybody. You had a realization being like, okay, this is serious. I think things are changing right now. Mm-hmm. And for that time that you had, like, the LA time, where you're like, you must have just experienced that whole experience differently than you had before with that realization. And that's pretty darn intense. Laura, I was wondering, I connect with, you know, your music with Death Parade, and I know you're on Instagram. I was wondering if you could let the listeners know where to connect to your music, Death Parade's music, and if you could just kind of point people in the right direction so they can, you know, interact with your art.
Yeah, I have... Death Parade PDX on Instagram. I have my own personal Instagram that I post a lot of stuff that's going on in the community and like stuff that I think people, if they saw it, they would think about it and maybe, you know, it would promote action in their own life. On my Instagram, at Tara Haunt, which that name is slowly evolving into like a solo project of maybe more synthy stuff and keyboard or piano stuff, but that's to be later in life. Slow process. A lot of things I learned from the pandemic is like, take your time. It's fine. It doesn't have to be instant and doesn't have to be right now completed and done. And the internet doesn't have to like make you go faster. Like you can take your time. But that's besides the point. Death Parade is on Bandcamp, and we're working on putting stuff out on Spotify. But with this new album, definitely, I'm thinking about releasing a single that I recorded, produced, and mixed. Maybe next month. I want to make a music video, and that's been kind of hard to do. So that's coming soon. Very excited about that single, but that'll be on Bandcamp.
Yeah. And that's a great bonus. Thanks for sharing that too. I mean, I know a lot of, artists I have on, musical artists. We always like to try to, plug Bandcamp and the great, you know, the great, service that is, more of a direct connection to artists. And, I tend to use that service a lot. And in a recent episode, I was speaking with the photographer for the Doomed in Stone, who do the Doomed in Stone compilations. Randy J. Bird. And we got to chat a bit about, you know, about Bandcamp and about kind of how with Doomed and Stoned or Bandcamp as a vehicle, putting together compilations that really kind of reflect a local scene, right? The doom scene in Portland or Australia or Canada. And it's nice and with you, you know, being part of the Portland scene and me hearing, I can hear sounds out of Portland that I recognize out of Portland. It's a mixture of sounds and it's nice to get that vibe, right? Get the vibe of what's going on. So, always love to plug Bandcamp, but Laura, I have to tell you, I really enjoyed chatting with you, and I'm really looking forward to your new material with Death Parade and your other projects. I just wanted to say a lot of your realizations and what you've expressed about experiencing the pandemic, you know, as an artist, as honestly, as a human being, I just want to let you know I have a lot of worth. And I've been thinking about those things myself, but all the best to you and to Death Parade. Heck of a band. Love the music and really looking forward to the new sounds, you know, the new sounds coming out. Laura, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for these questions. I appreciate it.
All right. Hope you have a great day. And from what I know, it is a strange day where snow may be arriving in Portland. So stay safe for that strange event. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.